We're doing things slightly different here today. The Aldersgate Talks, as we'll be running through a presentation on the gospel as we look at two ways to live. And we're going to start thinking about that right now. But before we do that, let me just open in prayer before we get underway. Let's just pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us each and every day. We thank you for every good gift that you give us. We thank you for even the breath in our lungs. And so, Lord, as we spend time now to think about who you are and the things that you have done for us, Lord, help us to listen, help us to respond, help us to grow in faith and in seeing you as a good, good God. Lord, we pray for this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So you might have a little service sheet just as you walked on in, and that'll just show us where we are going here with these diagrams. And you also have this little booklet here, and just follow along with me here as we look at this. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about what the Christian message is about. Perhaps you've picked up a Bible at some point, and you're struggling to know where to begin reading it. I mean, there's so many pages, where do I start? Or maybe you're on the opposite end of the spectrum. You are someone who loves the Lord, who knows Jesus, and you've always wanted to share your faith, but you don't know where to start in explaining it. Well, the Christian message is a simple message, and yet it has changed millions of lives across the world over the last 2,000 years. And the Bible helps us understand this message, who we are, who God is, and the heart of it all, who Jesus Christ is and why he matters. But before we start thinking about who Jesus is, we need to go right back to the very beginning where we see the creation of the world and meet its creator. And that is our first thing that we see here, is that God, the good ruler and creator. Now the Bible tells us that God is the one true and living ruler of everything that's ever existed. And when we think about rulers, we think about world leaders typically. Kings, presidents, prime ministers, or dictators. But unlike human rulers, God is not corrupt or self-serving. I mean, let's face it. We've seen it on the news this week. World leaders will let us down. They may find themselves at the center of scandals or find themselves becoming unpopular for their decision-making. But God is different. He is thoroughly good and loving. And he is a ruler who continues to generously provide for his world and to rule it with justice. Now, the question you might have at this point is this. What makes God the ruler of everything? What makes God the ruler of everything? It's God. God does. He did. He did this by firstly creating everything. In the Bible it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made. And when God first made creation, everything was made good as well. And when God finished, the Bible tells us that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He made this good and beautiful world we live in, which is full of wonders and spectacular nature. This world is teeming with life, and it never ceases to amaze us. This is God's world. He made it, and he is in charge of it. But God didn't just make the world. God also made us. He made you and me. God uniquely made us like him, bearing his image, and he gave us a unique place in this world. God commissioned us to rule over this world, to care for it and to be responsible for it, whilst also honoring and obeying him as our ruler and thanking him for his generosity and the life he gave us. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, but in the Barbie movie, great movie, by the way, recommend it. But the song, What Was I Made For, by Billie Eilish is played. And each of us can easily ask that question about ourselves. Well, you were made for two reasons. To know God, who made you in his image, and to be given dignity in ruling over his creation. You see, this is how God made things to be. And this is how he made us to be as well. But I think it's obvious to all of us that this world that we live in doesn't feel like this right now. The world feels like it's full of dangers, that it's unjust, and that everything is systematically broken. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. What happened? What happened to this world that we live in right now? Well, that comes to our second heading, where we see our rebellion against God. And everything that is wrong in our lives, in this and in this world around us, goes back to the fateful choice that humanity has made. You see, at the beginning, we didn't want God to be our ruler. But instead, we rejected him as God and decided to live our own way in defiance of him. And let's face it, we all do this in our lives. Now, most of the time we do this by ignoring God or keeping him at a distance. And instead, we just try to get on with our lives and to do things our way. But God is a generous creator and provider. And yet we don't thank him for all that he does or all that he gives us. Now, God cares for justice. He is a just ruler. But we don't honor him and obey him as our ruler. God knows what is best for us since he created us. But instead we follow our own desires and priorities. We live by the values that we decide are best. And that could be religious, spiritual, secular, ethical, whatever it is that we allow to control our worldviews. Now the Bible calls this one thing. The Bible calls this sin. And we all do it, whether or not we realize it. And no matter what religion or path that we choose to follow. And the fact of the matter is that we live in a world that is full of what you might call little gods. That is, each of us doing things our own way. All of us selfishly trying to bend the world and other people to our will. And each of us at times following others to find the solution to life and its problems. Just as someone once said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. You see, we all wander and seek meaning and satisfaction elsewhere. But we're just like foolish sheep. We don't know what's best for us, even if we think we do. Now, it's hardly surprising to us then that when we find out it doesn't work, people inevitably let us down. And our self-rule fails as well. What happens then is that we suffer the consequences of these things, including the damage that we do to ourselves, to people around us, to the world that we live in, a world which finds itself broken, unjust, and full of problems. But if this is because of our rebellion against God, the one who made all things, then what will God do about our rebellion against him? Well, that comes to our third point here, when we see God's justice. And in the same way that any good ruler takes injustice seriously, God takes our rebellion very seriously. He holds us accountable for every action we perform because it matters to him. And why it matters is because of those actions, both outward and inward. Be it thoughts, intentions, our heart's posture. Well, they do three things. They dishonor God, who made us in his image. They cause us to treat others poorly and fail to love. And they ruin God's world. Now, in other words, God won't let rebellion go on forever, as it would be unjust of him to do so. And one way we experience God's judgment against our rebellion or sin is the reality of death. You see, death stops us carrying on living the way God didn't create us to do. And none of us like the idea of death, by the way. In fact, death might be scary to some of us. But the truth behind why that is so is because death and suffering isn't natural in God's original design. The corruption, death, and decay that we all experience and face in this world are part of God's punishment for humanity's rejection of Him. Death stops human rebellion from getting out of hand. And in His goodness, God doesn't give us death right away. But one day, all of us will face it. But this death, though, isn't the final judgment that awaits us. In fact, there is a further judgment that lies ahead. One day, you and I will stand before God and we will give an account to Him for our lives, for the damage that we will have done, for our personal rejection of Him as our ruler. Nothing will be hidden, but everything will be revealed, like a videotape of our entire lives, which will be played out before us and God. Now, the sentence that God will give us on that day is simply what we ask for. That is, separation from Him and the life He gives. God will cut off the life cord between us and Him permanently. Because God is the source of life and everything good, so being cut off from Him means a never-ending destruction. Now, let's be real, this is a terrible thing to consider. But what's even more terrible is to fall under the sentence of God's judgment. However, it is something that we all face because we're all guilty of rebellion against God. Now, this is hard news to hear, but it's not the end of the story, because God has a plan to rescue us. And the fourth thing we see here is that God sent Jesus to die for us. Now, God still loves the world that He created. He still loves the people that He made in His image as well. And He doesn't abandon everything in the face of failure and brokenness. God still loves us. God doesn't leave us to then suffer the consequences of our rebellion. But the Bible tells us that God loved the world so much that He sent His own divine Son, Jesus, into the world to save us. Jesus came to earth as both God and man. Unlike us, Jesus didn't rebel against God. He always lived under God's rule in perfect obedience, giving thanks and honor to Him. Jesus, unlike us, didn't deserve God's judgment in any way. Jesus didn't deserve to die. And yet, what the Bible tells us is that Jesus did die. Whilst He was on this earth, Jesus proved that He was God by revealing His power to heal the sick and even to raise the dead. Extraordinary things that people witnessed. But Jesus allowed Himself to die on a cross whilst He was in the prime of His life. Why? Well, the even more extraordinary news is that Jesus died as a substitute for rebels like us. He took upon Himself the judgment and punishment that we deserved by taking our sin and dying on the cross in our place. Death is the punishment for rebellion, and He died our death in judgment for our sins, something which we deserved. And so all of this is completely undeserved by us. We rejected God, but because of His great love, God sent His Son to die for us. But that's not the end of this good news. As we see in our next point, that Jesus is also the risen ruler and Savior. See, when Jesus died, God accepted Jesus' death as a payment in full for our sins, and He raised Him from the dead. And in defeating death, Jesus rose up to be what humanity was always meant to be, the ruler of God's world. And as God's ruler, Jesus is also appointed to be God's judge of the world. When Jesus returns and judgment day comes, Jesus will be the one calling us to account for our rebellion against God. But Jesus is just more than God's appointed king and judge. He is also the Savior from God's judgment, because of Jesus' death on the cross, where he became our substitute. He now offers to forgive us for all of our sins. Every sin you've committed, whether it's past, present, future, they've all been paid for in full. And because of this, we can now make a fresh start with God, no longer as rebels, but as loyal friends, giving thanks and honor all to him. And with this new life that Jesus offers us, God himself comes to live inside us by his Spirit. And through this, we can now experience the joy of a new relationship with God, the very reason why we were made. And when Jesus does return in glory, we can be completely confident that we will be acceptable to him, not because we deserve to be, but because he took our punishment by dying in our place. And so where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with a clear choice between two ways to live. Now, two paths currently lie before all of us individually right now. The first way is to continue living in our rebellion against God, ignoring him and running our own lives our own way. Now, sadly, this choice that many people make and continue to make happens today. And what happens is the end result of living this way is the inevitable and rightful judgment of God. We not only have to put up with the damaging consequences of rejecting God here and now, but we face the dreadful prospect of eternity, of an eternity of separation from him. But there is another way, another path to follow. If we turn to God and ask for forgiveness, trusting in Jesus as the resurrected ruler and Savior, then everything changes. For a start, God wipes our slates clean. He accepts Jesus' death as the payment for our sinful rebellion, and he completely and freely forgives us. God gives us his Spirit and gives us a new life that goes on way past death and way into eternity. God no longer considers us a rebel, but part of his family. And we now live with God's Son, Jesus, as our ruler. So we've looked at what the gospel is. And if I was to ask you the question, which way would you like to live? How would you respond? If the answer that you give right now is my way, then you might not have fully understood or believed the Christian message as outlined here in this leaflet. Perhaps you don't believe that we really are rebellious against God, or that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, if that is the case, then I want you to think carefully about these claims and do some further investigation before moving on. You see, the stakes are far too high for you to reject this message without being sure. Now, perhaps you could read about who Jesus is in one of his biographies, whether it's the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Perhaps you could go through this again with a colleague or a friend who is a Christian. But if you know very well that you're a rebel against God and would like to turn back and start living God's way, then how do you do that? Well, there's three simple steps. Talk, submit, and trust. Firstly, talk to God. Admit to him that you've rebelled against him and deserve punishment. Ask him for forgiveness on the basis of Jesus' death in your place. Ask God to help you to change from being a rebel to being someone who is with Jesus as the ruler. And in this booklet, you will find a very simple prayer that you can pray to get you started, which goes like this. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I'm sorry, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me so that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me so that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. Well, if and when you pray that prayer, The next thing that you're asked to do is to submit to Jesus. And this follows on directly from the last step. You want to put this faith into practice by actually living with Jesus as your ruler. And there'll be many parts of your life that will have to change, including old rebellious habits to get rid of, greed, anger, selfishness, so on. And some new God-honoring ones to take on, like generosity, kindness, love, patience, for example. Now, this second step here goes on for the rest of your life. But you're not doing it alone in your own strength. God will be with you all the way, and he will help you in making this possible. He'll keep speaking to you through the Bible as you read it. He'll keep listening to you and helping you as you pray to him. He'll empower you to live by his Spirit who lives within you to change and live his way. And he'll provide other Christians to encourage you along the way as you meet with them regularly. So talk to God, submit to Jesus, and trust Jesus. This last step, trust in Jesus, is ongoing as well, as you will need to keep putting your trust in the right place. You see, being right with God is only possible because of what Jesus did. You will need to keep coming back to this again and again, because as you start to live God's new way, you will still fail and do the wrong thing time and time again. And that's okay, because we all do it. We all need to keep looking to the death of Jesus on the cross as the only grounds for our forgiveness. And we must never stop relying on Jesus and Jesus alone as the means by which we are forgiven and given eternal life. And if you take these three steps, you can be assured that God has forgiven you and given you a whole new life. But if you've not yet responded to God in this way, you can be equally assured that you remain under his judgment. You see, at the end, there are two paths to take and only two ways to live. It's the choice that we all face. So what choice will you make? Well, that right there, folks, is just a simple way in which we can explain the gospel through this booklet, Two Ways to Live. Now, what I'd like us to do now is just spend a bit of time discussing at your table. You see a couple of questions there on your sheets. If you're not a Christian, just think about this and maybe chat about it with those around your table. Is there anything there that you haven't understood clearly or anything that you disagree with? If you're hearing this for the first time, how do you feel about it? Are you amazed? Are you gobsmacked? Maybe you can't talk if you're gobsmacked, let's be honest. Or maybe you just disagree with it altogether. Why not chat about that with those around your table? Or if you are a Christian, think about how you can share this with your colleagues. How you can sit down in 20 minutes, like we've done here, just chat through what the gospel is. Why don't we do that just for the next bit of time? Let's give 5-10 minutes to that, and then I'll just come up, give a couple of notices, and pray. Thank you very much.